Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Chile. Within these last days, an important decision made in Chile to reject 54,000 words, 388 codicils, a new constitution drawn up over the last years by a constituency that was nominated, elected, advanced following the violence of 2019. This is a pre-pandemic, post-pandemic story. And I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor and columnist at the Wall Street Journal editorial page, who's been my teacher on watching Chile. And first, the facts. Mary, a very good evening to you. When last we talked, the vote was imminent, and the polls for some time had suggested that the new draft was unpopular. But as you noted, you can't be sure. Polls are various, and you pointed to the fact that there were undecided. Now the numbers look decidedly against the Constitution. I believe 62% was the number. That's a resounding rejection. Are you in any fashion surprised by the result or the comments, Mary? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I am not that surprised by the result. As you mentioned, there was a large undecided, and I was worried about what that actually meant. Now, in retrospect, I think it meant that a lot of people were unwilling to tell pollsters that they planned to vote against it. They perhaps felt intimidated because there was a very strong climate of intimidation, and there had been quite a bit of violence in the country, carried out by the hard left. So that probably explains the large spread. And, you know, as your listeners probably know, some 62% of people who voted voted to defeat the proposal. And not only that, but the turnout was extremely large. I don't think there's been a turnout for a Chilean election where, by the way, voting is mandatory. There hasn't been such a large turnout since the presidential election in 1989, where former general Augusto Pinochet was on the ballot. There was a huge turnout then, but this is the only one that matches that.
The question now is, in this rejection, what comes next? However, I want to go to a detail that was featured in an editorial in your newspaper. It was about the Mapuche. If I understand it, these are the indigenous people that were often in the conversation, we need a new constitution. The Mapuche, in what is described as the heartland of the Mapuche, La Araucania, rejected it even larger than the general public. Is that a surprise, Mary, that the Mapuche in this particular province, state, were not convinced in any fashion that this was going to improve their lives?
Well, I think it's only a surprise perhaps to the communists who wrote the document. But if you've watched the polling and the voting in that area of the country over the years, what you will know is that, A, these people are very conservative, and, B, they want to be Chileans. And this constitution made them less than Chileans because it created what they called a plurinational Chile. That meant that there would be nations inside of the country of Chile. And they didn't want to be carved out, assigned, put on the one side and said, you know, you have a separate legal system and so forth. They want to be Chileans. And I think to a large extent, many of them feel protected as Chileans because the existing judicial system in Chile provides for equality under the law. And, you know, they would run the risk if their area of the country was carved out as a separate nation, that it could fall back into the idea of tribal leaders, hierarchies, and basically make them less free than the freedom they now enjoy. And this area has always voted. I mean, this area was a very strong supporter of General Pinochet and has traditionally voted conservative and for traditional Chilean values. So I'm not that surprised that it went that way. But again, I think the surprising part is that the media was kind of incapable of grasping this, described turning the Constitution down as turning down indigenous rights, which was crazy. I mean, they were turning down indigenous privileges and a carve out for indigenous groups, but it wasn't to turn down indigenous rights. And that's a distinction that I think the Mapuche understood, but many of the onlookers did not.
The new president, Gabriel Boric, a graduate student come president who is described as a classical Marxist. This vote suggests that his election to begin with is now in question. He was part of that wave from the violence in 2019. Is he ready to change, to acknowledge or to listen to his own people?
Well, poor Gabriel Boric. I mean, let's start with the fact that, you know, he only took office earlier this year, and he has presided over spiking inflation, a collapsing economy, investment fleeing, the peso dropping like a rock, and really bad crime problems throughout the country. So in the midst of all this, he also backs this constitution, and the nation basically tells him, we don't want any part of this. So, yeah, he's got a lot of problems on his plate. And with respect to the Constitution in particular, what's interesting is the left of center, but not so extreme as Boric and his supporters, but say what you would call social Democrats, like the Christian Democrats and other parties similar on the left, but not so far left, were opposed to this constitution. If he is going to survive and perhaps even prosper, because he has, 4 years left in his administration, he's going to have to build consensus on the left. And that means that he's going to have to move further to the center and see if he can find allies who are, as I say, social Democrats, but not so wedded to the more extreme ideas of his movement.
And in doing that, Mary, does that describe the needs of Chile? This is a resource-rich country. Is the government ready to acknowledge that the Chilean people themselves want a continued prosperity and a restored stability?
Well, this is a kind of a complex political economy question because when the Chileans went to the streets in 2019, there was terrible violence, but there was also supposedly a huge wave of popular support for the government to address grievances of the public. And this would be things like, for example, they don't have what we call Social Security for people who are not part of the formal sector where you have a W-2 and somebody withholds your pay. I mean, they have it, but it's very, it's not enough to live on. And so that's an example of something that people wanted the government to respond to. They wanted better public health. They want better education for their children. And so I think that the right, if they're smart, will say, people want these things, but it doesn't require a new constitution. We will try to respond to them. Obviously, the only way the government can really respond to those problems is by growing faster, creating more wealth, which then they can redistribute to people who have, lesser means. And the left's solution is to forget about the growth part, and just redistribute the existing wealth in the country. And so if they end up prevailing, if Boric is able to make a pact with the Social Democrats and they reopen the Constitution and they try to use the Constitution to solve those problems, I think it bodes very poorly for the future of the country.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, The Vote in Chile. I'm John Batchelor.